From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all his fullness.
Thank you for joining us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns concludes his first message in a series of studies focusing upon the various occasions in which the Lord Jesus Christ referred to himself by that ineffable name, I Am. Here is the revelation of the God of eternity, infinite, eternal, and unchangeable. And during his earthly ministry, Christ applied this name to himself, clearly declaring his deity, that he was and is God manifest in the flesh. Dr. Cairns will be with us shortly. First, please enjoy this devotional thought from Morning and Evening, a collection from the pen of Charles Haddon Spurgeon. This morning's text is found in Lamentations, chapter 3, and verse 24. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. It is not the Lord is partly my portion, nor the Lord is in my portion, but he himself makes up the sum total of my soul's inheritance. Within the circumference of that circle lies all that we possess or desire. The Lord is my portion, not his grace merely, nor his love, nor his covenant, but Jehovah himself. He has chosen us for his portion, and we have chosen him for ours. It is true that the Lord must first choose our inheritance for us, or else we shall never choose it for ourselves. But if we are really called according to the purpose of electing love, we can sing, Loved of my God, for him again with love intense I burn. Chosen of him ere time began, I choose him in return. The Lord is our all-sufficient portion. God fills himself. And if God is all-sufficient in himself, he must be all-sufficient for us. It is not easy to satisfy man's desires. When he dreams that he is satisfied, anon he wakes to the perception that there is somewhat yet beyond. And straightway the horse-leech in his heart cries, Give, give! But all that we can wish for is to be found in our divine portion, so that we ask, Whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon earth that I desire beside thee. Well may we delight ourselves in the Lord, who makes us to drink of the river of his pleasures. Our faith stretches her wings and mounts like an eagle into the heaven of divine love as to her proper dwelling place. The lines have fallen to us in pleasant places. Yea, we have a goodly heritage. Let us rejoice in the Lord always. Let us show to the world that we are a happy and a blessed people, and thus induce them to exclaim, We will go with you, for we have heard that God is with you.
Of our Father, which passes all other, will keep your hearts and your minds in Christ our Lord.
Always, always rejoice in the Lord. I'll say it again, oh, rejoice in the Lord.
With unselfish giving, with sanctified living, with hearts in thanksgiving, rejoice in
I will lift up my voice. truthful and holy, his peace rules my heart, and in this I can rest. Always, always rejoice in the Lord. I'll say it again, oh, rejoice in the Lord. With unselfish giving, with sanctified living, with hearts in thanksgiving,
In 2 Chronicles 7:14, the Lord said, "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves, and pray, and seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, and will forgive their sin, and will heal their land." If ever there was a time when believers in the Lord Jesus Christ needed to pray, surely it is now. The moral condition of our land and the apparent powerlessness of our churches cry out for God's people to seek the Lord earnestly for revival. To encourage true Christians in this urgent need to pray, Let the Bible Speak is pleased to offer, free of charge, copies of a powerful message by Jonathan Edwards, one of the greatest Christian leaders and thinkers this country has ever produced. The title is typical of Edwards' time, a humble attempt to promote explicit agreement and visible union of God's people in extraordinary prayer for the revival of religion and advancement of Christ's kingdom on earth. Don't let the title put you off. This is a message for this hour. In a 20-page booklet form, Edwards' sermon calls upon believers to unite in earnest prayer for God to come in reviving power upon His church. The great revivals of history have always come as the result of fervent prayer, sometimes on the part of just a few Christians who were burdened to seek God for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit in revival power. That power is still available for those who will seek it seriously. To obtain your free copy of this message, you may call our toll-free number, 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. If you wish, you may email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Or you may write to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Ask for the message, Edwards on Prayer, and we'll be happy to send you a free copy. Thank you. On today's broadcast, Dr. Cairns concludes his fifth message in a series of studies dealing with Christ's statements where he said, I am. The text for this message is verses 10 through 18 of John chapter 10. In verse 11, Christ said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd layeth down his life for the sheep. We learn, first of all, that this is a statement of Christ's deity. He is the exclusive shepherd. We've seen that Christ, the divine shepherd, was sent by God, and yet at the same time, he is also God. The Father loveth the Son, the Scripture says, because of who he is and because of what he has done. As the divine shepherd of his flock, the Lord Jesus gives life to his sheep. In this connection, Dr. Cairns explained what Christ meant when he said, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Furthermore, it is important to see that Christ knows who are his sheep as well as who are not. Then Christ, as the good shepherd, seeks his own and brings them to himself. As Paul wrote to the Roman Christians, there'll be one flock, those who are trusting entirely in Christ for salvation. And now to bring God's word for today, here is Dr. Alan Cairns.
Over against that statement, I know my own sheep. There is the implication, I know those who are not my own sheep. They may pose as my sheep. Others may mistake them for my sheep. But I know my sheep, and I know those who are not my sheep. You remember how the Lord Jesus dealt with this? And this is a stark, stark and terrible contrast. In Matthew's Gospel, chapter 7, he speaks of the day when men and women stand before him for judgment. And he says, many will say to me, Lord, Lord. And they go on giving their spiritual pedigree, their spiritual credentials. We preached or prophesied in your name. In your name we cast out devils. In your name we did miracles. I want to put it to you. Here on earth, most people who cast out devils and say they're doing it in Jesus' name, who do miracles in Jesus' name, and they get up and preach in Jesus' name, they expect to be recognized as Christians. Then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. I know my sheep, but I never knew you as one of them. I want you to stop there this morning. Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. I am the good shepherd. I know every sheep of mine. I wonder, does he have to put his finger in you today? Say, I don't know you as one of my sheep. I know you as a hypocrite, a liar. I know you as a religious charlatan. I know you as a church member. I know you as a professor. But I don't know you as one of my sheep. You say, well, how could I ever know? Well, he goes on to say, not only do I know my sheep, but I am known by my sheep. In other words, if you know Christ, now the knowing Christ is the knowing not just of recognition, it is that. It is recognizing him to be your shepherd, your leader, your sacrifice, your sovereign. It is recognizing him, yes. It is also more than mere recognition in terms of mental assent. This is the equivalent of believing. This is the equivalent of receiving. This is the equivalent of following. This is the equivalent of taking the place of the sinner and casting yourself entirely and absolutely upon Christ the Savior. He is known by his sheep. There is inherent in that, obviously, first and foremost, the confession of the sheep. It may sound strange to put it that way, but we're talking about human sheep here. So you can make confession. There is the confession of Christ as the sheep, by the sheep. He's the shepherd. I wonder, do you know him? It's knowing Christ that brings you in to the flock of God. Nothing else. Knowing Christ personally. Knowing Christ as your shepherd, your Lord, your Savior, your sacrifice, your sovereign. It's the only way. And with that, you have a solid ground of assurance. I am known. There are some people, and I grieve that this has ever come into the Reformed camp. It seems to me to be turning the Reformation on its head. The Reformers tended to go too far in one direction in the doctrine of assurance. In other words, they were had such a doctrine of assurance that people who weren't completely assured, they would doubt if they were saved. At least some of them. That's how far they seemed to go. But then it went, the pendulum swinging the other way. They almost make a virtue out of doubt. I know preachers, and they don't think they've done their job right unless they can make every Christian doubt that they're Christians at all. The way they do that's keep getting you to look in on yourself, and you see how unworthy you are, how far short you fall, all the rest of it. Well, the more you look at yourself, the more ground you'll have to doubt. But when you know Christ, the more you look at him, the more assurance and the more ground of assurance you receive. You see, they know him as the good shepherd who died for us. They know him as that great shepherd of Hebrews 13:20 who rose again from the dead for us. They know him as the chief shepherd of 1 Peter 5 verse 4 who's coming again for us. They know him as 1 Peter 2:25 puts it, as the shepherd and the bishop of our souls. Now there's an insight into what it is to know Christ. You see, remember, a sheep is just a figure. You're not a sheep, literally. Metaphorically, yes, we are sheep. But you have qualities or faculties that sheep don't have. So here you've got an insight of what it is to be in the flock of God. You recognize Christ, the shepherd, and the bishop. The hypocrite hates the all-seeing eye of Christ. The hypocrite hates the oversight of Christ. The hypocrite does not believe for a minute. He may say he does, but he does not believe for a minute the word that the Lord Jesus said, "Take my yoke upon you. My yoke is easy. My burden is light." To the hypocrite, holiness is an intolerable burden. Obedience to Christ is an intolerable burden. Separation from the world is too big a price to pay. That's the hypocrite. That's the false professor. That's the person who does not know Jesus Christ. But the one who knows him, they say, "He is my shepherd. He is the bishop. He is the overseer. He is the one who's looking over my soul. And I welcome him as that, and love him as that, and worship him as that." He is known by his sheep. I like what he says in verse 16. He brings them from wherever they are. He brings them. Now, some of them are far away. Other sheep have I. Now, remember, he was speaking at that time to Jews. The fold at that time was a Jewish fold. The only way to worship the Lord before the New Testament church era was by becoming a Jew. But Jesus says, I have other sheep. Anybody who doesn't believe in the doctrine of election, predestinating grace, you want to look at that verse again. This is before the gospel ever reached the Gentiles. This is before that one apostle had ever set forth. Jesus is looking across the world, the Gentile world, not only in that age, but through all the ages. And he's saying, I have other sheep. They're not of this Jewish fold, but they're still my sheep. Them also I must bring. Thank God there's none of God's sheep left out. He'll bring them. He'll bring them. Now, he'll use means. He'll use preaching. He'll use evangelism. He'll use tract distribution. He'll use missionary endeavor. He'll use a whole lot of things. But at the end of the day, it is the great shepherd himself who takes the personal responsibility to ensure that every one of his sheep from all the world and all the ages of time is safely brought in. I will bring them in. That gives a great deal of confidence when you're in God's work, you know. If this was a matter of trying to build churches and save souls by human effort, I think I'd have given up a long time ago. Why would you even be bothered? Because no human power can ever effect it. But the great shepherd says, I'm going to bring them in. Go back to what we read in Ezekiel 34 and notice again the I wills of the great shepherd Jehovah. I will do it. I will do it. I will do it. And nobody's going to stop me. He's going to do it. Bring them in, no matter where they are. But that also has a personal application. Doesn't it remind you of Luke's Gospel, chapter 15? The lost sheep is gone out on the mountains, wild and bare. But the shepherd goes after the one that's lost. What a picture of a loving good shepherd, pursuing, seeking, and finding. And then it ends with this wonderful picture where he unites all his sheep. There shall be one fold. Actually, I think it's better, one flock. There's one flock and one shepherd. You see, Jesus was saying, here's the fold. I described that last week as our covenant union with Christ. The covenant in Old Testament terms was largely Jewish. But Jesus says, I have other sheep that are not in this fold. I'm not going to leave them where they are. I'm going to bring them. And I'm going to unite the whole flock of God, Jew and Gentile. There'll be one flock. There'll be one fold. There'll be one shepherd. He'll unite him, his people. That takes us into eschatology. So I better stop there. If you want another picture of this, you get it in Romans 11. It's not sheep this time, it's an olive tree, but it's the very same truth. One flock, one fold, one shepherd. Away with this rubbish of a heavenly people and an earthly people. Of a people who are saved half by law and half by grace, and the others who are saved totally by grace. Away with all that rubbish. One fold, one flock, one shepherd. One salvation. That is the message of the great I Am. I Am the Good Shepherd.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.